We mentioned it last week, and Barb had mentioned it to me, and that is simply for everything God has done as far as this earth is concerned, he's had people to do it. He had a bunch of fishermen. He had a murderer. He had a guy that was persecuting Christians. But God invests his being in people. If we miss that, we miss God's plan and God's ideals of his creation, because we're part of his creation. So all I want to do here this morning in Zechariah, and then we're going to the New Testament, is just show you how God used a man by the name of Zerubbabel. You know, you don't see many kids named Zerubbabel. Got some other weird names, but that one didn't fit. First, number one. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it. One is on the right of the bowl and the other is on the left." If you keep reading and go through this whole chapter, you'll probably see where the two olive trees are two witnesses. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, Lord?" The angel who talked to me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And he answered to me and he said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." God's design for your life is because of his grace. You don't look at God and say, "Well, I'm just nothing. I'm just, you know." When you step into God, there is nothing you can earn that has to do with eternal life. You come to a place, and it's like God was saying, "You see that mountain? By grace, it's going to be a plain." Your life by grace is going to be tremendously successful. You say, "Oh, what are you talking about?" You're not the one that determines that. God is. And you may say, "Well, I've been a failure." Are you still? No. We've all failed, but we never have become failures. And so we enter a point here when it comes to the church. Are we going to be a traditional church? Are we going to be a pastor-driven church? Are we going to be a church where people has the right to stand up and say things like we did this morning? Or are we going to be a church where we come in and sit and we're not standing on the promises, we're just sitting on the premises? And it's a choice that we make. And I'm going to share with you today how I want to get to a place where I hear from God for every service. Where you hear from God for every service. Where you come to church prepared to share. You come to church willing and ready and anxious to share with people what God has told you during the week. Now that behooves us to spend time with God. And so the Bible begins, if we really look at it, to teach us how to be the body. Okay, raise your right hand. I ordain every one of you. You are now officially ministers. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it's just supposed to be pastor talk. No, it's not. We come to a place where it's by grace he's transformed us, he's changed. You know, there's no argument over salvation by grace. But the lifestyle afterwards is by grace too. And so let's take a journey together, okay? So everything that I want to teach you this morning is based on an L-O-V-E word. And that's where we have to start. If I really love the body of Christ, or if I really love the people in this church, and please, there's no guilt here. It's not a condemnation. I'm going to get with God, spend time with God, and have something to present to them every week that's fresh. And if you really love God, you're going to come prepared to share something God has shared with you during the week. Right? And so we want to be a church that's open enough to give people the rope they need to grow and share. And yeah, you can make mistakes. Who hasn't? You know, you may feel a word of prophecy and you may say it and it just didn't add up and halfway through you forgot the words. It's okay. The only one that was ever perfect, they nailed to a cross. We won't nail you too high. And so we come to this place, and I want to go through some scripture with you just to show you what I'm talking about. Now, I realize that people think 1 Corinthians 13 is a Valentine's Day verse, chapter. I don't want to pop your bubble. I know I told my grandkids this year there was no Santa Claus and I could have got shot. So I'm not here to pop your bubble. I'm here to tell you that 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter about ministering with the gifts. It's a love chapter. Let's go there. Okay, what he's saying is, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What are those, Kirk? Noisy. In other words, I'm going to make a lot of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. Okay, look at me. God is love. And because he is love, he expects and prepares us to be loving. So if I'm not flowing in the gifts, I'm flowing in nothing without love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not think its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, there's one thing here you can't do. You cannot make yourself be a godly lover. You say, what are you talking about? This love is called agape love. There are many different Greek words that talk about love, but one is phileo, one is eros, and one is agape. Phileo means love as a friend. Agape means love as God. God's love. And so everything we do, no matter how many times we fail, is based on love. The Bible tells us love covers a multitude of sins. And so we need to understand something because we love everyone. They get a chance to prepare and share what God's telling them. Even if it seems out in left field somewhere, even if it seems we don't understand it, even so it's hard to interpret, it doesn't matter. This is safe ground. And in the safety of the body of Christ, there's no condemnation. None. And so, my goal for everybody, God's goal for everybody, is we step into a place where the spiritual gifts, the motivational gifts, the gifts from 1 Peter chapter 4 about being oracles of God come into play, and everything is done in the body of Christ to glorify Jesus. Look at me. As God begins to use you to minister, there's no badge of superiority. We're equal. And we come to a place of stretching ourselves, being stretched by the Holy Spirit. How many have ever been an exerciser? How many have been a weightlifter? How many just sat and ate in front of TV? I thought something would fit. But if you were like me when I was really in shape, I always wanted to push it. I wanted to push it. If I ran 8 miles, I'd want to go 10. One day I got up and I ran to Browns Valley. That was kind of hard, but then I ran the hill back up just to let them know I could get the hill and let them know I wasn't 80 years old yet. There was always something to go for. I'd go up to the exercise room of the hospital, and I'd see somebody did an hour on a machine, I'd want to do an hour and a half. I pushed it. And there are times we come to a place, because God tells us, desire the best gift. How many have read that? And so we try to define what the best gift is. How do I know what gift is best? I'll give you an opinion. You could do with this whatever you want. To me, the best gift is the one that's needed at that moment. If a person is dying and need healing, necessarily speaking in tongues over them is not the answer. Or if you need a miracle, we just go by what the need is. But the purpose of the gifts is to edify the body of Christ and glorify Jesus. And for some reason, there's people who are afraid of that. There are people who want to tear that apart. There are people who are cessationalism. It all died when Paul died. I'm going to tell you something. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with just an argument. I'll repeat that. Once you experience the Holy Spirit in the biblical sense of what God wants, a person that just don't believe it and they talk about it with arguing and they want to destroy it, you're never at their mercy. You have the experience. When you experience Jesus through salvation, you're never at the mercy of someone who says, I don't believe in that. Right? And so there's a lot of naysayers. There's a lot of people who want to push a concept. There's a lot of people who say, well, I don't believe that's for today. Well, they don't have to worry about it because they'll never get it. So why argue the point? If you don't believe it's today, don't try to get it. I'm not trying to be mean. But you folks have giftings. Those giftings have been in you for a long time, and some of you don't have a clue what God wants to do through your life. All that I'm asking you to do is believe what God has to say and accept His word in spite of somebody who don't believe it. You'll have a hard time telling me that God doesn't heal. I was praying for a blind lady in Acapulco, Mexico, where we helped Richard Affeldt start orphanages. And God popped her eyes open. Tell me God can't do that. We had a doctor take us around because the government opened the hospital to us. The doctor took us around and took us into this preemie ward. All the babies were dying. All the babies were dying. Newborns. And the doctor asked these people, do you want prayer? And so they looked at me and says, is he a priest? And I said, no priest. No, we don't want prayer. One lady had twins and said, I want prayer. Walked over to the first baby, hadn't made a noise, hadn't made a sound, laid my hands on the baby, and God healed that baby. In a moment, that baby was crying. The other twin started crying, and everybody wanted prayer. I've seen the miracles of the book of Acts, and I'm not bragging. I'm saying this to let you know, when someone comes to me and says, I don't believe in this, don't. It's your choice. If you get sick, You don't believe in it. Know what that means? I read lips. And so we come to a place where God's gifting is given to us to edify the church, the people, build up the people, encourage the people, comfort the people. Go with me to 1 Peter. We're talking about all this given out of love. In chapter 2 and verse 17, this is to this body, this is to us. Honor all people. Honor all people. We want a culture of honor in here. You know what that means? Every person who comes in this place has value. It's important that we let people know you have value. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We have to pick out one, so one of you are going to be king. Bible said we have to have a king, didn't he? Honor the king or honor government leaders. Turn with me to First Peter 2:9. For you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Sometimes we get just messed up with our heads. God says you're special. God says you have purpose. God says you've been designed for mercy. God says you are praisers. You've been called of darkness. Out of darkness into this marvelous light. And so with all this stuff going on, the church has changed. The church is like a spectator sport. And for some reason, the leadership of churches around America has decided that we're going to be driven by one leader, or maybe two, or maybe 20, or maybe 30, depending on the size of the church. Size of the church. When God is saying, I want my people sharing. I want my people sharing. Let me show you. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Don't let me scare you now. How many of you know you have some gifting? And what are you doing with it? As each one has received a gift, the Bible says when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. Romans talks about the motivational gifts, Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. We call salvation the gift of salvation. What does that mean? It was given to us. If anyone speaks, in verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Look at me. You can't hide. I'm too close. But what made you stop using your gifting? What changed your mind about what God has blessed you with? Somebody say something? Did you give a gift and didn't go over the way you wanted it to? You feel God's failed you? Did you not get opportunity to use it? You see, there's got to be a reason why when God gives us something, we don't allow him to work it through us. All your gifts are not vocal, okay? And so there are all different kinds of giftings that the body of Christ needs. And as we come to God, sometimes something happens. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. Somebody tells us that's not true. Somebody hurts our feelings, and we wear them and we carry them the rest of our life. And we are made up our mind, I'm not going to do that anymore because I could get hurt. Amen or oh me. And God is saying, I didn't do that to you. Your life is to glorify Jesus. Amen? And the giftings that he put within you are to glorify Jesus. Amen? So something is wrong when my life is not glorifying Jesus, and I'm afraid, I'm scared, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated, and I don't use the gifts to glorify Jesus. You know, and all the excuses we can make doesn't make a difference. Go back with me to Romans 12. Verse number 3. For through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one, what? Measure of faith. Okay. Look at me. Don't say, I can't use these, I can't minister in these because I don't have faith. Right there it says you do. Right? Yep. Raise your right hand. Say, God,
you've given me the faith
to do whatever you ask me to do.
And know
it'll accomplish what you want. Man, I can't wait till next Sunday. You see, this is not the time to go on spiritual vacation. This is time to step into whatever God wants in your life, because your life is going to be used to touch somebody. You'll reach people that no pastor could ever reach. You'll touch people's lives that Billy Graham couldn't touch. Why? Because you know the person. You know the people. You see what they go through. You walk it out with them. I'm going to say something, and you can throw stones at me if you want. Do you understand why you're still here? Not this church period. It's because the pastor's long-winded. But do you understand why you're still on planet Earth? Because we haven't accomplished what God wants to. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. The church is, if I don't see it today, I'm quitting. It takes effort. For as we have many, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. What did we just say? You have different things. Not everyone is a talker. Not everyone does this. You have a different function, but God has equipped you through his mercy and his grace to do what he's called you to do. So we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, which is service, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor and giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. You are not the only person that's ever been hurt by a church. The church is the only organization I know of that kills its wounded in the name of the Lord. We want to see that changed. Last week we told you, if someone's overtaken a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, we're not trying to get people out of here. We're trying to get people in here. We want people to come and see the body of Christ as God intended it to be.